Thank you, Pastor Steve, and thank you for welcoming me into your church community this weekend. I'm very grateful to be with you here today to share from the Word and about the work of International Justice Mission. And our vision at IJM is to rescue millions, protect half a billion, and prove that justice for the poor is unstoppable. And IJM has been very influential in helping me to understand God's heart for the poor and His mandate for us to defend the oppressed. And it's my privilege to share this with you today. And I'm especially grateful to be here with you on Thanksgiving weekend. Saanich has been very welcoming to us and supportive of our work, so I'm thankful to be able to express our gratitude to you. IJM is a Christian global organization that fights slavery, human trafficking, and other forms of violent abuse against the poor throughout the developing world. We're currently working in 19 communities worldwide, rescuing victims of violence, bringing restoration to survivors, working with the criminal justice system to ensure that perpetrators are held accountable for their actions, and in doing so, strengthening justice systems. Our theory of change is that when justice systems function properly, then they effectively protect the poor from violence as intended. And we've seen God's work in incredible ways, which leads us to give thanks to the Lord, as David does in Psalm 9, which we read together earlier, and which is the passage that I'm speaking from this morning. By way of some background, in Latin and Greek versions of the Bible, Psalms 9 and 10 are combined as one single psalm. And when looked at together, they follow a general acrostic pattern. The acrostic is one of the forms of poetry seen in the Psalms, where the initial letters of each line usually follow the letters of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence. And we also see in Psalms 9 and 10 that there are certain elements and themes that are common to both psalms. Both refer to God's interest in the oppressed, consider the experience of times of trouble, and both express the certainty that God will not forget the afflicted. And when we look at Psalms 9 and 10, the main difference between them is in their tone. Psalm 10 is primarily lament. And in Psalm 9, it's predominantly praise and thanksgiving. And in Psalm 9, we see David praising God for success, particularly in defending Israel from what we understand to be certain Gentile enemies. This psalm grew out of an occasion when other rulers sought to oppress Israel. And David praises God for His righteousness and justice, and his intent is to give thanks to God for His wonderful deeds, which have brought deliverance to His people. And we know from scriptures that the experience of deliverance was very real for the people of Israel, having, among other things, been freed from slavery in Egypt. While held captive in Egypt, the Israelites endured much injustice and oppression. They were beaten and forced to do hard labor. They were put at disadvantage in their work, told to make bricks, but without being given straw. And Pharaoh even had a decree in place that all newborn Hebrew sons should be put to death. So all of these are examples that show the type of injustice that the Israelites had to endure and experience. And we know that in the end, the Israelites were liberated, and ultimately, the Exodus is the story of God delivering His people from slavery and oppression from Egypt. Now, maybe we can say that experiences and stories of oppression like this, these are historical things. And we'd like to imagine and say that things today, things are different. Our world is less brutal, and things are more just. But the reality is that there are over 40 million people in the world living as slaves today. So to put that into context, 40 million is greater than the current population of Canada, and it's the highest number of slaves than at any other point in history. It's people like Cassie, whose story we saw in the video. Cassie is the youngest of 12 siblings. She refers to her home as the Mountain. It's a remote province in the Philippines, home to indigenous people with their own customs. When Cassie was about 10 years old, her father moved the family to a city so that she could have the opportunity to go to school. But life for the family was still hard. They used to grow their own food, and now they needed to earn money to buy it. So Cassie helped her mother to work as a maid for another family. And it was here that she met AJ. He was from Manila, a relative of their employer and the godson of their neighbor. AJ told Cassie's parents that he could give her a better future, promising to send her to school and to treat her like an adoptive daughter. Cassie's family agreed. Going to school would finally become a possibility for Cassie, but it soon became her only refuge. It was the only place where she felt safe, as she dreaded going home to AJ's house because AJ was running a cyber sex trafficking operation out of his home. AJ would sexually abuse children, film the abuse, and then broadcast it online. He offered live cyber sex shows to customers around the world who would pay money to watch or direct these shows. The viewers who participated in this abuse were from the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. To people around AJ, he appeared to be a benevolent father figure, helping to send children to good schools. But in fact, AJ preyed on the children of family, friends, and vulnerable neighbors. Cassie was not the only victim, as there were 6 victims inside AJ's house, including a 2-year-old. So what does the justice of God look like in circumstances like these, when victims of Cassie have endured such oppression? We saw in Psalm 9, David envisions a successful campaign that protects God's people from evil schemes with a decisive victory as the result. But where is the hope of victory for people like Cassie? In Psalm 9, we see David's declaration that his hope and security is found in the just rule of the Lord. At verses 7 and 8, "But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the people with uprightness." In the Old Testament, when psalmists and prophets spoke about God's justice and righteousness, they often used 2 Hebrew words together, mishpat and tzedakah. Mishpat is the Hebrew word translated as justice, and its most basic meaning is to treat people equitably and to give people their rights and their due. So it would mean to punish wrongdoers and also to care for victims of unjust treatment. Tzedakah is the word translated as being just or being righteous. And now, while we often think of righteousness in terms of personal or private morality, in the Bible, being righteous is a deeply relational matter. A person is being righteous when they conduct their relationships with fairness, generosity, and equity. So taken together, mishpat and tzedakah mean to do what is equitable in the circumstances, to allow for everyone to live in right relationship with one another, and to bring restoration when relationships are broken. And to speak of God's justice and righteousness, then, is to remember that these are the ends for which God exhibits his rule and authority. And then at verse 9, David declares that God is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. God's judgment involves vindication for the oppressed, people who have been taken advantage of because of their weakness. As David acknowledges that God has protected his people from the wicked, we can acknowledge that people suffer injustice because they have an oppressor, somebody who unjustly exerts power over them to take away the things that God desires for his children, their freedom, their dignity, the fruits of their love and labor. Being vulnerable to an oppressor is a risk faced by many in the developing world. The United Nations estimates that approximately 4 billion people live outside of the protection of the law. 4 billion. This is most of the world's poor. And without the safety and protection afforded by the law, the global poor take the brunt of the world's injustice because there are oppressors abusing power to take advantage of the fact that they're defenseless. So it's important that we recognize that oppression is not just a philosophical or a theological idea. Oppression involves a participant actor, and therefore we require courage to stand up against the oppressor. Another case that IGM has worked on involves a man named Philip Chicoine. Like in Cassie's story, this is a case about the cyber sex trafficking of children. But in this case, Philip Chicoine is one of the oppressors, and he's Canadian. Mr. Chicoine had paid $23,000 to watch live internet streams of impoverished mothers in Romania and in the Philippines abuse children, often their own. Mr. Chicoine then took screenshots of the abuse involving 18 victims, some as young as 10 months old. In the course of the investigation, authorities discovered over 4,700 images and videos depicting the sexual abuse of children. Mr. Chicoine did all this, assuming that he was safely hidden behind his computer screen. But one of the uploaded images led to a tip-off for the Saskatchewan Internet Child Exploitation Unit. So they began an investigation that would eventually lead to Canadian criminal charges being brought against Mr. Chicoine in Saskatchewan. Not only that, as the investigation also led to collaboration with the Philippine National Police and IJM, resulting in the arrest of two suspected perpetrators in the Philippines, as well as the rescue of 12 abused children who had been trapped in this devastating form of slavery. The rescued children are now receiving aftercare to support the restoration, and the legal case against the suspected perpetrators in the Philippines is ongoing. And as for Mr. Chicoine, following his arrest and capture, he pleaded guilty to 40 charges and was sentenced to 12 years in prison. At IJM, we understand that living in the freedom of Christ and under the just rule of God includes defending the poor from their oppressors. And this is why the Philip Chicoine case resulted in his arrest and sentencing, as well as the capture of the suspected perpetrators in the Philippines. And this is why Cassie's story is also one of hope and victory. Cassie came home from school one day on a Friday afternoon, but with the same fear that she had been feeling for nearly 5 years. That evening, she woke up to loud noises and police inside the house where she had been trapped. Cassie remembers that she was very scared, but an IJM social worker who was there that night explained to her and the other children that they were not in trouble. Rather, they were being rescued. And today, Cassie is safe, living in an aftercare shelter that she calls her second home. She's like a big sister to two of the young children who were rescued from AJ's home that same night. IJM social workers and staff at the home provide support to the children, working with them toward their healing and restoration. Cassie says this, "What gives me hope is first God, because he's my father who is there for me always, and my family, my sisters in my second home, and the owner of this shelter." and all the people who are always there to support us. They are all my strength. And Cassie decided that she wanted to participate in AJ's trial, bravely sharing her testimony in court, standing up against her oppressor. AJ was convicted of his crimes and faces life in prison, ensuring that he can no longer exploit and abuse children as he did before. So these cases have been very significant in our fight against slavery and injustice. And the breakthroughs in justice have taken time and perseverance. Our work in the Philippines is built on our prior experience and success in fighting the sexual exploitation of children in bars and brothels. And we studied the impact of our model in Cebu, in the Philippines, to see if it could reduce the number of children available for sexual exploitation in commercial establishments. The goal of this study was to see if we could achieve a 20% reduction in the availability of minors for sale. After 4 years of working closely with the justice system, independent researchers confirmed that there was an incredible 79% reduction in the availability of minors for commercial sexual exploitation. As it turns out, when the traffickers faced the real risk of going to jail for their actions, they stopped abusing the children. And there was also increased engagement in aftercare services for the survivors. And the Philippine government scaled the strategy in other parts of the country to fight sex trafficking, and it's now applying the model to fight cyber sex trafficking in cases like Cassie's. And at IJM, we've also replicated the model in other cities worldwide, and we've seen the transformation of cities and of whole countries. We can testify to the fact that God has indeed not forgotten the cry of the afflicted. For myself, I had the privilege of seeing this personally when I served in one of IJM's South Asia field offices for 1 year. My wife and I, we witnessed firsthand the passion and dedication of our team in fighting sex trafficking and transforming the justice system. Our colleagues told us about the progress that they had made over their years of work. From not being trusted by the police, to now being asked to train police officers in conducting trafficking investigations. From not being able to secure meetings with public officials to talk about trafficking, to now collaborating effectively with government bodies to host conferences on how to fight trafficking internationally. This was the International Conference on Women Trafficking in 2017, organized by IJM in collaboration with a state-level government commission working to advance the status and rights of women in the state. This is a regional director addressing the conference delegates, which included anti-trafficking experts, international law enforcement professionals, and government officials. Our colleagues told us how significant of a development it was to have government officials participate in a conference to discuss the importance of eradicating trafficking and slavery in the country and across country borders. They've seen real transformation in the justice system. This type of transformation shows that there is hope for justice for the oppressed, and that we are moving closer to seeing the end of slavery. When we share stories like Cassie's rescue, Philip Chacon's capture, and the progress made in transforming justice systems to effectively protect the poor from violence, like David, we recount God's wonderful deeds and remember time and time again his saving power as a stronghold for the oppressed. We give praise and thanksgiving to God as he continues to be at work to bring rescue to an unjust world to achieve his just and righteous purposes. And God asks us to be a part of his mission to seek justice and restore freedom. So our thanksgiving to God is also for the supporters who partner with us in bringing liberation to the oppressed. I'm privileged to be able to thank Saanich for joining with IJM in the fight against injustice until all are free. free from slavery and oppression, to be the children, women, and men that God has created and intended. The faithful support from your church has enabled us to be ready and able to send rescue to victims like Cassie when it has been needed in communities around the world. And your prayers have strengthened us, as we know that prayer support is absolutely vital to accomplish the significant work of justice. So I offer sincere thanks, as we're so grateful for your partnership with us. In A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson writes, "God's people are everywhere and always encouraged to work for the liberation of others, helping to free them from every form of bondage that sin uses to stunt or thwart their lives. The promises and fulfillments of freedom are antiphonal throughout Scripture. God is a stronghold for the oppressed, and He has called His people to be a blessing to the world and to bring liberation. As God's people, we bear witness to who He is and the great things He has done. And while we know that there is still work that remains, we have confidence that the needy shall not be forgotten and that the hope of the poor shall not perish. Our hope is in the just rule of the Lord, and may we serve Him in the security of this hope." Shall we pray together? Thank you, God, for this morning, and we give thanks for your rule which is just and is righteous, and for your call to be your people, to bring liberation to the oppressed, to bring freedom to those who are in bondage. We give thanks, Lord, that your gospel means that we are indeed free from the hold that sin has on us, and that it is actual freedom to bondage and oppression. And may we seek to bring that freedom to those who are oppressed. May we follow the example of Jesus, the justice of God. And we give thanks and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.